Joining me now in the studio, the executive director of the Snydeville Basin Water Reclamation District, Mike Lures. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, Leslie.
Let's start off, as we always do, with our flush report.
Yes, so we estimated that there were 252,483 visitor nights for the month of July. And when you compare that to July a year ago, we're less than 1% decrease, so pretty much equal to what we saw last year. And if you were to look at the year-to-date numbers, we're also within 1% of the year-to-date total compared to last year.
Okay. And also you check the weekly wastewater surveillance. And what is that showing you?
Yeah, so twice a week at both of our facilities, we look for the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And in the last couple weeks, the results have shown that the virus has increased dramatically, not only here in Summit County, but also Wasatch County. And the numbers for Summit County last week were what we call very elevated. And in a couple of sites there at Heber, this last sampling, which was done on the 13th, they're also very elevated. So things have increased and changed quite a bit compared to what we've have been seeing.
Yeah. And does that show you what kind of strain, or is it just the virus in general?
Yeah, the health department does do the genetic work to determine which strain it is, but these results are a little higher level than that, and we don't get down to the strain level.
All right. And it's interesting, just because we don't even really talk about it anymore. It's just like having a common cold at this point.
Well, certainly it can be severe, and I happen to know some folks that have gotten COVID and have gotten pretty sick recently. So, you know, it's not something that you just want to completely ignore, that's for sure.
Yeah, and for those who may be getting vaccinated against COVID, is that what's showing up in the wastewater? Just the vaccine and...
Yeah, no, the vaccine would not show up in the wastewater.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. Okay. This is the actual RNA from the virus itself.
Okay. And it sounds like you're also checking for measles, huh?
Right. So the health department takes our samples, and once a week we look for measles. And thus far, as far as I'm aware, we have not had any positive results for measles.
Yeah. How difficult is that to kind of add a testing for certain disease?
Well, the testing that is used for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is obviously the virus that causes COVID, the technology has really advanced over the last couple of years. And really all you're doing is looking for a different snippet of genetic material that's associated with measles. And you can do this for many, many, many diseases. And the health department does do some of that, but it does get expensive. As I've mentioned in the past, I do anticipate wastewater-based epidemiology to expand to other viruses and diseases in the future.
Okay, even with all the cuts that we see going on?
Well, it's a really good method to determine the health of a community when you look for various diseases, and it's fairly inexpensive to do. Obviously, using wastewater, you kind of get a picture of the whole community at a time. So that's what's changed from, you know, years ago.
Yeah, and speaking of budget cuts, are you being impacted at all?
No, we do not use on a regular basis any federal funding, so we have not been impacted.
Okay, it's all what, user fees?
It's user fees, what you pay in your monthly wastewater bills, what we use to operate the system, and our impact fees are used to expand the system for new growth. And that's it.
All right. Let's see. Congratulations. The district has won a couple of National Environmental Achievement Awards. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the district was honored by the National Association of Clean Water Agencies in Colorado recently. And we were awarded two what we call Platinum Peak Awards. And very simply, the first award was for our East Canyon Treatment Facility, where we achieved 100% compliance with all environmental regulations for 21 consecutive years. And our second award was at the Silver Creek facility, which is located out there by Home Depot, where we achieved 100% compliance with all environmental permit requirements for 22 consecutive years. So, you know, meeting all your environmental regulations for a year is quite a bit of work, but to do it for 20-plus consecutive years is a really testament to our staff for really caring about the health and welfare of the citizens and the environment. And, you know, kudos to our staff, because that's quite difficult to do for 20 consecutive years.
Yeah. So what's that based on? I mean, just the samples that you pull that are then documented, or?
Right. We sample and we take tests every single day for a multitude of parameters. Some of them are daily, some of them are weekly, some of them are monthly, and there's literally thousands of results that are submitted to the regulatory agencies. And what this shows is that we've met all of our requirements completely.
Okay. Let's see. You've got some construction projects underway. What's happening?
Yeah, just want to notify the folks here in Park City that on Sunday night, which is the 24th, we will be working on Park Avenue from Heber to the north for a couple blocks. We need to install a new sewer pipe inside an existing sewer pipe, and to try to minimize our impact, that work will start at 8 p.m. and will be terminated at 7 a.m., assuming it's not raining too hard. And traffic will be impacted a little bit. We usually will only shut down one lane at a time, and we will have traffic control. So again, Park Avenue, Sunday night in the evening. And then we have another project on Monday night, which is the 25th, in Sweet Alley, basically from the Brew Pub north for a couple blocks. And again, that will take place from 8 p.m. till 7 a.m. And same situation on Park Ave, where we'll have traffic control. We will not shut the road down completely, but we most likely will close one lane at a time.
Yeah, so what are we talking about? Is that the length of the, I mean, is that liner going the length of Park Avenue from Heber north?
No, it's two separate lines, but this is two segments of pipe, basically manhole to manhole, that we have inspected with some remote TV equipment, and the pipes are showing their age. So we're installing a flexible pipe inside the existing pipe, and then we heat it up, and it hardens it in place. So this prevents us from having to dig the street up and taking weeks and weeks to put a new sewer line in.
Yeah, and if you don't get that done quickly, what happens? I mean, when you have a sewer leak, and are you alerted to it?
Well, you know, if his sewer line fails, the sewer line generally will collapse and will back up raw sewage into the manholes and down the street and into businesses. So we don't like to see that happen, obviously. So we have a pretty progressive maintenance program where we install these new pipes whenever we see a pipe beginning to really show its age.
Yeah. Has that ever happened?
Years ago, we had some very old sewer lines here in the Park City area where we had some troubles, and we finally have kind of caught up with all those. And again, we're pretty progressive. We don't let them get to the point where they collapse. However, you know, problems do arise from time to time. We did have a directional borer who was putting some optical cable line in the other day, bored through one of our lines. And, you know, Rocky Mountain Power accidentally put a pole through one of our lines. And, you know, those kind of things. But it's not a result of us deferring maintenance or, you know, not taking care of the system.
Yeah, so what do? Bring out large vacuums, or do you just let it get absorbed?
When it overflows, mm-hmm. No, we pick it all up and with big vacuums and then disinfect the area. But, you know, knock on wood, we haven't had to do that in a very long time.
Yeah. And in terms of those liners, how many times can they be replaced or once?
No, great question. These liners are equivalent to installing a new pipe. So they have a life expectancy of 75 to 100 years.
Okay, so in 75 years,
years, we'll see what the technology is, but you could come back and put another liner in, theoretically. But
oh, you could. Okay, yeah, so you wouldn't have to replace the outer.
No, the good thing is the technology improves. We're now using carbon fiber liners, so they're very, very strong, very thin, so they don't take up much of the capacity of the pipe, and they're very smooth on the inside, so the resistance is less than the original pipe. So while we may reduce a little diameter of the pipe, the water actually flows through these pipes with less resistance.
Yeah. So when you do install new large lines for new development, mm-hmm. Do you use a little bit larger ones to kind of accommodate that? Or
no, it's standard. Well, yeah, we don't need to do that because these liners actually, at times, we actually end up with more capacity than the original pipe because the inside of pipe is so slick.
Interesting.
And again, these liners are for like the pipe that we're installing here at Park Avenue and Sweet Alley. I mean, we're talking like a quarter inch thick. And it's the really, really strong and replace the equivalent of the original pipe.
Yeah, and it's not your project, but sure. We had a lot of the sewer lines replaced in the Prospector area. Mm-hmm. Is that project mm-hmm. about done?
It's about done. Kudos to all the folks that have worked on that for many, many years. That was some private, sewer lines that they took on, and eventually they're bringing those up to standard, and then they're turning them over to us for ownership and operation and maintenance. And they've done an excellent job, and they're getting real close to finishing that up.
So has that transfer happened?
Yes, we have. We're taking it on piece at a time. So yes, we have accepted portions of that already.
Okay. And finally, I always like to bring in a monthly tip. What's the one for this month?
Well, this time of year, we're getting quite a few phone calls where people says, hey, I got this odor in my home. It smells like sewer. What's going on? You guys, I see you might be working in the main line in front of my house. More times than not, this is where, due to the hot temperatures, the water in a P-trap for a sink or a drain will dry up, and then the sewer gases will come into your home. So modern plumbing code requires that on all drains, this be a shower drain or tub or even a sink, there's a twisty-turny pipe that we call the P-trap that holds water, and that keeps sewer gases from entering your home. So if you have a shower or a bathroom or whatever that's not used very often, those P-traps can dry up, meaning the water in that little section of pipe will dry up and allow sewer gases to enter your home. So what you just need to do is every couple months just run around your house and turn on a shower or a tub, or we frequently will see a utility room that's kind of off to the side someplace that's not really thought of. We have a floor drain and no water source to that floor drain. Go in there and pour down a quart or two of water, and that'll fill that P-trap up and prevent those sewer gases from entering your home. But we do get quite a few phone calls this time of year on this issue.
Okay, and it's because the water's dried up.
The water just dries out of those P-traps because the facilities haven't been used in a long time.
Okay, Mike, anything else?
No, that's it, Leslie.
All right, see you next month. Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You.
Mike Lohr is again the Executive Director of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District.